for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 1st, 2000. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is for the first service of the meetings.
I'm going to introduce our speakers that are here. Majority is here to all of you this evening, and I'll give them a few minutes to get acquainted with you and reacquainted with us who are already acquainted with them. Now, you met Linda up here a while ago, and Ginger, and the other girls singing and praising the Lord. One place in the next day or two, while Linda is still fresh, she'll be ministering in one of the services for us. And so with that said, I want her to come back up here and say hello to you officially this evening. Linda Sutter Olsen.
Thanks to you. Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be back, to see some friends in the back. Hallelujah. I saw Speed and his wife, and your name leaves me right now. Fern, I'm sorry, Fern. I'd never forget your face. Anyway, it's always my privilege and my pleasure to be here. And about 10 years ago, I think it was, I lived on the campground for a while. And I consider that a privilege, too, because I understand a little bit better what goes on here. And I'll tell you what, when you guys go home and you've had such a wonderful time, I'll tell you what, we all of us here at the campground begin to experience some of what spiritual warfare is all about, especially before it happens, don't we, Glenn? Before the camp, we experience spiritual warfare, and after camp is over, we do a lot of cleaning out and some of the stuff that the devil wanted to leave behind, but I'll tell you what, I feel privileged to be a part of it. I didn't believe in deliverance the first time I came down here. I walked out of Irma's meeting upstairs. She said, where are you going? She says, and I said, I'm getting out of here. but I'll tell you what, they were very patient with me, and God brought me back because I had some needs in my life. Amen. Amen. I was in the ministry and all that, but you know ministers have needs in their life, just like everybody else does, even more so. And I came down here, I think the following year at Christmas time, and I said, I want to fast and pray. And so I fasted and prayed one night down here on a Sunday night. Glenn was calling all kinds of demons out of the campground, and I started manifesting over here. And the demons started coming out, and I went up to my trailer, and I didn't sleep much of the night. And I was spitting demons in the toilet, and I was laying hands on my head, and I thought, if anybody would see me do this, I'll deny it. But I tell you what, not only did I feel free, but I went back up to Wisconsin and the people said, what has happened to you? Amen. Ministry changed. Hallelujah. And, you know, that's the proof, isn't it? And I got free. I was up the next morning. I came down here to prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, about 7. Couldn't get in. The doors were locked. But I came in and somebody said to me, what happened to you, Linda? You look 10 years younger. And I just knew that I'd gotten rid of a whole ton of stuff. Hallelujah. So I'm just so happy that they call me and want me to come back. And I really got happy tonight, Glenn. I haven't had a chance to tell you this, but last week I was in Grand Rapids, and a prophetess came up to me, and began to prophesy, and she's always right on the money with her prophecies. And she began to prophesy that I was going to go to a familiar place where I had been before. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to rack my brain, you know, a familiar place that I've been before. And she said, it looks like a house, but on the inside it's a church. And she said, and then there's some, it looks like cobblestones. And I'm thinking, I'm going back to Europe. You know, that's the only place I knew that had cobblestones. I didn't see those cobblestones back there inside the door when I came in. And I said, praise the Lord. And when I got here, I thought, praise the Lord. I'm in the will of God at Lake Hamilton. Hallelujah. Because it didn't look like I was going to get here the night before. But I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that God is still on his throne. Amen. It says the steps of a good man, and I'm going to interpret that, a good woman, are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Glenn here, come here, honey. He is my spiritual dad. Amen. In fact, I love to tell this story, and most of you have heard it before. But when I couldn't decide whether to get married or not, when I was 50 years old, it was the first time I got married, and I just
the only time.
Yes. So anyway, I said, Lord, I just need I put a fleece out. I don't do that. I don't even preach that. But I said, Lord, just have Glenn call me. And I hardly had that prayer thought out of my head, and he called me. And I told him that I'd gotten a proposal the week before, and he had met this gentleman. He and his former wife, who God took home, had been down here to visit me. And he says, well, you know, I get a witness on it. And I says, you do? And so anyway, after I got off the phone with him, I sat there for a while and I thought about it and I thought, yes, I think it's a good move, if I can put it that way.
About time.
About time, yes. And so I thank Glenn for being obedient to the Spirit. And I'll tell you something, I'm happier than I've ever been in my whole life.
Hallelujah. And you were talking about intercession and before and after. Well, the Lord sent Vita and Doreen down here 3 or 4 days early, and they've been all over this place bringing the presence of the Lord. And they're going to stay a day or two after and help be sure there's nothing stays here. Amen. 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 Well, let me see. I think Lady Bayes, you ought to come up here. Diane. I don't know how much preaching we're going to get out of her before the week's over. We may get quite a bit. I don't know. But she's going to be in charge of all the activities for the young people. And so you want to say a little word about that here?
I sure do.
Or whatever. I don't care. Just praise the Lord.
Well, we can do that too. I mean, we've had a wonderful time in the Lord already tonight, haven't we? Glory to God. Well, listen, first thing, I have a praise report. And I just am so excited. I have to share it with you. And I don't think I've even shared it with Brother Glenn yet. Over the last few years, I've been coming, and I always come to intercessory prayer in the morning. And if you're here, I just really urge you to come to intercessory prayer. Come the first morning. If you don't like it, don't come back. But I believe that when you come the first time, you'll come every morning. And God moves and ministers, and it's really a wonderful experience. But over the last few years, Doc would go around the circle and say, do you have a prayer request? And I always, yes, I have a prayer request. My baby daughter wants to have a baby, and the doctors have said she can't have any children. And they've done corrective surgery on her. They've even done in vitro, and she got pregnant but lost that pregnancy. And so she and her husband finally said, God, if we never have a child, because their life was consumed with, I want a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. I went everywhere saying, do you know anybody that's got a baby? Because we'll take it. I really did. We were desperate. We wanted a baby. And so they finally said, Lord, if we never have a child, we will serve you all the days of our life. And about 7 weeks ago, I went over one day and I had a roast beef dinner or something, and I walked in the house. She said, oh, Mama, I can't stand that smell. Well, she is, I'm glad to tell you, she is 10 weeks pregnant. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. Hallelujah. And let the doctors know, but we won't tell Doc that, really. Amen. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about this week in youth camp. I am so excited, and all of the teachers as well. We're so excited about youth camp this week. The theme for it is He Is. And God has been speaking to us, and we have been preparing. We've been praying and just preparing, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. And I want to tell you right off the bat, you don't want to miss Friday night. We're not having a program Friday night. We're having an experience with the Lord on Friday night. You don't want to miss it. Bring your unsaved loved ones. Bring your unsaved neighbors and friends, because they will experience God and there will be change. But a little bit about camp meeting. We have three different age groups, age 4 through 6. 7 through 11, and then the teenagers. The teenagers will meet every evening in the cellar, and they'll have guest speakers. Brother Butch Taylor will be ministering to them on Monday night, and the title of his message is Hell. Want them to get a revelation of hell and what it would be like to go that way. Doc is going to be ministering on purity. We want our young people to stay pure before the Lord, and pure before marriage. Another one will be ministering, Brother Wade Jones will be ministering to the teenagers on the power and the glory of God. We want them to learn how to worship God, not just to have this fairy tale relationship, but to worship God and to come into intimacy with Him. And then they'll have a teaching on the throne room of God. So God has some special things planned. Some of the adults have said, I think I'm going downstairs instead of being up here. But the teenagers will really be blessed, as will the young people. Every day the girls will get together for preparation for tea time with Sister Irma. And on Thursday afternoon, we're going to be having tea time with her at her home. And she's going to be the special honoree. Every day, the boys, because they hardly like tea time, I think, the boys will be having story time with Brother Glenn. And the Colonel doesn't know it yet, but we're going to ask him. And some of the older men, we want them to just tell the boys some stories. And I think they'll have a wonderful experience. So we're looking forward to it. We're excited about it. And hope that you will bring your neighbors, your relatives, and just everybody you can think of. At least call and invite them. And be in prayer for the teachers. I'd like for the teachers to stand so you can see them, put a face with a name, and pray for them. Pray for each one of the teachers. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done.
Really, are you? Well, I think since we've having ladies here, I think we'll have Sister Coffee, Mildred.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. She is our ladies' teacher in the ladies' meeting, and then once or twice during this week, she'll be teacher in the afternoon 2 o'clock session. But she'll be teacher in the 1:15 meeting upstairs every day. Well, maybe not. Ruth may be teacher up there. Ruth Wilson up there a day or two as well. And Ruth, I might even put Ruth down here for everybody. Hey, that's right. So, Ruth, I hope that you're well warned now. Okay.
Praise the Lord. I am so glad I'm here. Aren't you?
You know, I'd been planning. I knew we had about 7 days upstairs, and I'd been doing some preparation to see what the Lord would have me do. And I spent several weeks doing some study and preparing. I lost my husband recently, and about 7 months ago, and the Lord has told me that I need to teach on grief. There, ever since I've lost my Jim, everywhere I turn, I run into someone that has lost a mate. And also, I'm going to teach on some one day on necromancy, because it's so easy to get into it if you're not careful. And it's an abomination to God. I had a lady call me up one day. I was having a real lonely day. It was kind of a hard day. And she said, you know, you can talk to your husband. And this was a woman that is a minister. And I said, what? She said, sure. I said, you mean you want me to get into necromancy? I said, not me. So I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I was asking the Lord over there what he wanted me to share. When I walked up here, I didn't have any idea. But, you know, I had spent several weeks really preparing, because I wanted the Lord to show me where he wanted me to go. Sometimes my husband used to tell me, yeah, you spend all that time studying. You get in the pulpit and change everything. I said, I don't. The Lord does. But I do feel that this is very important, because not only the women that have lost mates, but men have lost mates. And so having been there, I feel like the Lord would have me share that. But I'm also we're going to do deliverance on those that want it. Had a lady come the other day over to the, I've been here since Wednesday. And she, one lady brought another lady over to visit with me and wanted to talk to me about deliverance. And I talked to her, and I'm going to say this to everyone tonight. We have a good meeting upstairs, usually a real great group of ladies. And there's a lot of freedom up there, because they don't mind getting delivered. We call it our delivery room. And but I was talking to this lady about preparation for deliverance. And there has to be a preparation. You know, if you went in to have a baby, you girls, now you men don't have to listen. You'd prepare. So prepare for delivery. Come expecting to receive what you need and what you desire from the Lord. But please don't come and want cafeteria deliverance. We don't do that. You know what I mean by that? Well, I want to get rid of this, but I want to keep that. God doesn't work that way. But come and say, Lord, if it be in me, I want to get free from it. You know, I've been doing a study on the tabernacle. I taught on it in my church. And one night last week, I've been asking the Lord for several weeks why so many of his people are sick, and why we're not seeing the move of the power of God, like even in the Old Testament. I said, Lord, the prophets, when there were so many miracles, and you talked to them and you showed them things and all of this, and I said, now, Lord, we are your people today, have the Holy Ghost that indwells us. I want to know why that we're not seeing that move even in us that was in the Old Testament. And, of course, the Lord didn't say anything to me right then, so I'm just really tired of seeing what the flesh does, and I want to see what God wants to do. And I started to bed that night, and as I walked through the door going into my bedroom, I heard the Lord say, I will not live in an unclean vessel. So I went to bed, and I thought, you know, I didn't sleep. I'm not going to share with you what the Lord gave me. I may give it to teach it to the, show the ladies what the Lord showed me. But I want you to know that God wants us to, He wants us a vessel without spot or wrinkle. Amen. And so as we're willing to listen to him and to seek him and say, Lord, whatever in me that needs to come out that is unclean. Demons are unclean.
They are.
They're not clean. And yet we hang on to them sometimes because we're afraid someone will think we are have a demon, and we do. We have lots of them. So let's begin. We're here. We've got 7. How many days? We got 7, 8, 9 days. We have 7 days of deliverance teachings. Then we have Sunday, tonight, and then the following Sunday. So there's 7 days. And as I told this lady that I was telling her to prepare for deliverance, I said, get rid of all of your unforgiveness. People living or dead that have hurt you, forgive them. And I said, ask the Lord to show you how much involvement you've been in the occult. And I said, then ask the Lord to restore your soul. And you can do a lot in the preparations as you come in to receive the word and to receive deliverance so that the Lord can work in your life. And I tell you, you will leave here different from when you came. And when Linda was talking about after she received deliverance, they told her she looked 10 years younger. I saw Derek Prince on TV the other night. I was channel surfing. And he said he was 85, and I thought, oh, 85? And someone told me, did you know he was delivered from a spirit of aging? Oh, I got your attention. Everybody wants to get rid of that. So, it's possible. So, I tell you. Well, I'll tell you this. We want to get rid of not only the spirit of aging, but all the symptoms. So I praise the Lord, and I thank the Lord for an opportunity to share. And I, as I said at the beginning and all through speaking, prepare yourself. Yes. And let's, when we come into each service, let's come expecting to see God move mightily. Amen. Because that's what we've been praying for, a supernatural move of God, that God will take over and supernaturally do what he wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
Well, maybe we'll all get to hear a little of that. She was mentioning about early morning prayer meeting. We need you all to come to early morning prayer meeting, but we also need two or three of you in the kitchen at around 7 o'clock. We can't have breakfast at 8 o'clock without some help in the kitchen for Terry. To help, so we'll have something to eat. So some of you remember that when about 7 o'clock comes, to come in the kitchen and help a little bit. Well, I think that with all of that, I think Brother Frank ought to come up here. We're Brother Frank Marzullo for a few minutes and carry on about all this deliverance stuff that everybody says that I need so much of.
Well, bless the Lord. It's good to see you. The last time I was here was about, 5, 6 years ago? Yes. You can hear me now?
Amen.
I really don't need a mic. I got a big voice and a big mouth. Praise the Lord. What I want to share with you tonight, and as the Lord has put this on my heart, several years ago, I was driving on the expressway, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Frank, I want you to live in Luke 4:18. So I got off the expressway, the first opportunity I had, picked up the Bible. I knew what the scripture, but I wanted to make sure. And I read what the Lord said. Okay? Remember, he had been baptized by John, and then the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And for 40 days and nights, he was tempted by Satan in all kinds of temptations, and then filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the scripture says. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went to the synagogue, and it was given to him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61, and he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am anointed to bring the good news. Number one. To heal the brokenhearted. To set the captives free. To heal the lame and the blind. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he went around doing exactly what he preached. And he said, Frank, I want you to live in that scripture. And I want you to teach my family to also live in that scripture. all of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Amen? Well then, whether you want it or not, whether you know it or not, then you too have to preach the good news. And then in season or out of season, you have to preach the good news. Amen. And to heal the brokenhearted. There's so many people that have a wounded spirit and a broken heart. Wherever I go, I find it. Been hurt. The problem with us is people. If it wasn't for people, we'd be all right, wouldn't we? We don't have any problems with Jesus, but with people. But whether you like it or not, you have to live with them. And as the sister said, you have to forgive. That's one of the things that I find wherever I go. People holding resentment, bitterness. You have to forgive. And I believe, as the scripture says, if you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive you. And if you don't forgive, you're not going to heaven. Think about that. Holding resentment, bitterness. Because if you, God doesn't forgive you, you're not coming to heaven. Isn't that right? You can teach that. It's okay. It's free. And then to set the captives free. I spent a month in April in South America, in Colombia. And those people come in droves, thousands, because they want reality. And they come expecting. You know, I mentioned a little while ago, receive. You have to receive. How do you receive? You expect that what the Word says is going to do. And see, this is what I feel led to give. That which I received, I want to give. Our sister said she lost her husband. I lost my wife this December 29th. We've been married 64 years. Yes, I miss her, but I know where she is. And one of the things she said to me before she went to be with the Lord, Frank, I want you to keep going. I want you to keep preaching. I want you to keep giving. Amen. And here I am, 35 years old. Well, 86 to be exact. But I stand with my sister, and I come against aging. I command the spirit of senility and aging to get out of here in the name of Jesus. Amen. And be forever young in our hearts. And sister, isn't that right? Amen. Amen. And expect the unusual this week. I just feel something burning in my spirit that God is going to do something unusual. The Word is going to come forth. And signs and wonders will also come forth. But you have to expect it and receive. Amen? The Lord bless you.
Well, I want Ruth Wilson to come up here and say hello to you. And then I'll let Speed come up too, Ruth, after you. Well, I think we'll allow him a little time.
Isn't it wonderful? We're coming expecting. I know I did. I really have come expecting. Like you said, dear brother, I feel there's going to be a great breakthrough. I think we're going to enter into a new dimension. A new area. It's time. As a matter of fact, it's overdue. It is now. It's always now. And unless we accept it as now, we'll never get it. if we always put it into the future. We can't continue to do that. He's calling, as he said, he won't have an unclean vessel. He's calling us to holiness. He's calling us on to holiness. For the few times I've been blessed to speak, just a few words here. From the beginning, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's taught me about the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was back in 68. And you know, in those days, they look at me, what are you talking about? But now, it's time. It's now. He wants us to enter into his rest. It's the seventh day and the third day. And we're privileged to be in that number that he sent us forth at this time. You know, it says the Spirit comes from the Father and it goes back to the Father. And he knew us before the foundations of the earth. And don't you consider it an awesome privilege and a responsibility to fulfill that which he's ordained for us to walk in this day. So all I can say is I am here expecting and I'm here to receive. And I am so quickened about bringing forth the body of Christ. I haven't seen it. Maybe you've been privileged to be. But we're the body of Christ. And as the body, each one of you have something to give. So we can't hold back just because we have been standing here doesn't mean that we can't and don't desire to receive from the other members of the body, that portion which you are to give at this time. Remember, it's now. And let's press on. Let's press on to holiness. Let's press on to the glory. Let's not miss the glory. Let's not, that he says that you've sinned and you've missed the glory. Now it's the time. Let's not miss the glory. And it is a privilege. And as we were coming in, Speed and I said, we feel we're coming home. Glenn, Irma.
Well, Speed, we'll let you come up and have a word or two after your wife there. I think she's getting to be a pretty good preacher. Teacher, amen. Colonel Wilson will be having a service Tuesday night, 4th of July, and he will be the main speaker for that, and I'll let him mention about that, and we'll be having some special music to go along with that day as well, because it is a day of rejoicing to us who serve the Lord. It is a day of rejoicing.
As Ruth was just saying, the devil doesn't care what you believe if you put it in the past or the future, but never now. I heard the good definition of a procrastinator. He can never accept now as an answer. So, I was so blessed. Not only are we coming home here, we're meeting a lot of family. We've been here at times, and it's really family, the relationships that you establish on the spiritual level. And it certainly gets down to the soul level, too. And I can't think of a better group than to have soul ties with. Can you? I was blessed to, about 2 months ago, the magazine Charisma. On the cover, it had the classical painting of St. George slaying the dragon. And the caption was, "Deliverance, a ministry whose time has come." And underneath it, it said, "Jesus spent one-fourth of his ministry in deliverance. Why don't we?" How about that? That was a shocker because some of the stuff that Charisma puts in needs deliverance. I'd like a double dose of that deliverance of aging. I feel better all the time. I just had my 80th birthday, and Ruth and I just celebrated our 55th anniversary of marriage. And so you don't have to. All of us want to live a long time. We just don't want to get old. I think Margaret's found the secret to that. Mildred has found the secret to that. And I would never feel comfortable here at Lake Hamilton unless Mildred was here. And to say the least, she made quite a contribution to the men's conference when she was here. Thank you for being at the men's conference. It's a special dispensation for Mildred. How about the deliverance? Well, the question comes, can a Christian have a demon? Well, the proper answer is can a demon have a Christian? And as Ken Copeland says, of course you can. God will give you the desires of your heart. You want one or two, you can have them. But the good news is you don't have to keep them. You can cast them out or come to Lake Hamilton and have them cast out. And to tell me that a Christian can't have a demon, bless God, I was born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit out in Japan in 1958, manifesting many of the gifts coming back and associated with full gospel. As an international director of Full Gospel, and bless you, can't get any more righteous than that, can you, Glenn? And I was being delivered pretty regularly. And as St. Paul wrote, I've been delivered, I'm being delivered, and I'm yet to be delivered. Amen. It's a continuing process till we put on the mind of Christ. So we look forward to it. As Glenn suggested, I might mention what I'll talk about. As you know, I keep up with the conspiracy that's going on, and it is a demonic conspiracy. Most of them are Satan worshipers, and those that aren't Satan worshipers are very close to it by association. So we'll be talking about the title of the presentation will be Truth is Not Politically Correct. And we'll cover truth that's in the Bible that is not politically correct to talk about. You know, up in Canada now, you can't read Romans and others that condemn whoremongers and homosexuals and the other, so that's a hate crime. Well, and here in the States, they're going to try to pass a law against hate crimes. Well, if you pass one that's a hate crime, does that mean all the other crimes were love crimes? Well, a crime is a crime, and you can't really get inside of someone's head and see what his motivation was. Then we'll talk about truth of our national situation, and it's not politically correct to even talk about it. And then international situation, truth about that situation that's not politically correct to talk about. And we'll, if the Lord provide, we'll try to have a time for questions and try to answer. And so glad to see you here, see new faces. It's always great to meet new members of the family and to reunite with the others. God bless you. By the way, because it is the 4th of July, it's traditional the armed forces will allow me to put on a dress uniform, so I'll show up in a dress uniform for the 4th of July.
Be legal, huh?
Sir?
Say you'll be legal.
Be legal.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I was invited to be the, I guess you call them the Grand Fubar or something on a parade in Cleveland. And it was quite a big parade, and always wondered how people felt when they set up on the back of this one happened to be a Corvette, and people are waving at you, and you're waving back. You feel like an idiot, I can tell you. And looking around, and the most blessed thing that happened, other than the applause at the cemetery, but here they were for about 2 or 3 miles, 4 deep on either side, and of course I was waving and giving the thumbs up, and I looked over, and here was an Army general in his uniform. And so I simply turned and I said, "Good morning, General." And he returned the salute, and then he looked at me and he says, "Colonel, this one's for you." So, and at the cemetery, they asked me to give, tell war stories. It was about the Veterans of Foreign War sponsoring it. But I gave the testimony of how I met the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior in Japan in 1958. And after reading the Bible through 3 times and three different translations, I became convinced that the Bible is the Word of God. And as the Word of God is truth, and as truth it remains truth, whether anybody believes it, understands it, or accepts it, it's still truth.
Amen.
And that Bible procedures produce Bible results. And bless God, that's the only applause I got the whole time I was there. And it really upset the people that sponsored it because they were Roman Catholic.
Don't put your light under the bushel. Amen. Amen. It's a privilege to have all these to come and minister. We trust that Jack Harris will be able to be here with us Tuesday, and he's going to try to be, and we trust he will. If he is, why, we're honored to have America's two most decorated men in our presence. And both of them are members of the board of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. So we're honored. We're honored. Well, Butch, let's come and hear a word from you. Butch Taylor from Slaughter, Louisiana. What a praise.
Well, hallelujah. Lord, we don't get that kind of presentation in Slaughter, Louisiana. You know, being from Slaughter, Louisiana, you're more like Jesus than anybody else. I was like a lamb led there. Colonel was up here a while ago and made me think about our little community. And about 3 or 4 years ago, our community got together and we passed a petition that took it to every voter in our town of Slaughter to make our town dry. And so we don't have any alcohol in our town now. But then the one store that served it went around and asked all the preachers, we can't go buy our milk or bread there anymore. So we have to leave out of the parish or county and go down the road to get our milk or bread, drive 3 or 4 miles. But it's worth it. Amen. So the other day I was getting ready to come up here. And so I went down to the store, and outside them guys were sitting there drinking their beer. And so they said, hey, preacher, how you doing? Put their beer behind the pickup truck, put it in a paper bag. And, you know, I said, what you going to do for the fourth? And I tried to get real spiritual, and I thought a minute. You know, the Bible says if you'll open your mouth, he'll fill it. And I was just thinking, I want to think of something to be real spiritual. I said, well, I tell you what, if you want to be alive on the sixth, don't drink the fifth on the fourth. Hallelujah. Did y'all let anybody have a hard time getting here? I mean, things just really went wrong. Just had a hard time getting here. You know, the time before I was supposed to come, last time, they had a hurricane came. And Brother Glenn had a schedule to come here, and the hurricane was coming up. It came up in the Gulf, and I called him. I said, Brother, we can't come. The hurricane's going to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, I prayed about it and went on to bed. You know, when you really pray in faith, you can just go on to bed and forget about it, right? So I went on to bed, got up the next morning, turned on the TV, and that night the hurricane turned and went to Biloxi, Mississippi, and set 5 hours over a friend of ours' church right there in Biloxi. Well, we got up the next morning. It was beautiful. We called Brother Glenn and said, we're coming. Well, we came on up and had a good meeting here. Well, this time, I bet I was excited about coming. And, you know, I'm a prophet, but, you know, in the Old Testament, they call prophets, they call them seers. And God's been showing me a lot of things. I've been seeing a lot of things, what's fixing to happen here at the camp. And I'm not going to share it tonight, but I'll share it tomorrow or whenever I speak. And but Satan doesn't want things to be told. Hello? So Satan has attacked me in certain ways. But I said, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Last night, my wife and I was at a church down in the Gulf of Mexico in the south part of the state of Louisiana. Well, we got home at 12 o'clock, and the lights was out. And so we got to the door, opened the door. I went out by the headlights of the truck and read on there, and it says, the lightning hit the tree right by your house. And so you might not have any lights, and check your appliances. Well, we didn't have any lights, and so at 12:30, I'm running around trying to throw on breakers and whatever and get the air conditioning going. It's been off all day long. And, you know, is anybody expecting anything to happen this weekend? I mean, I'm expecting something great to happen, aren't you? Turn to somebody and say, something great is going to happen this week while I'm here. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Well, anyway, about 12:30... we got the air conditioning going. And it's good to have an air conditioning going, but when it's not working, though. And so that the light didn't hit our air conditioning. And I left this morning at 5 o'clock in a hot house with a hot wife. So I know something good is going to happen this weekend. I have been on a cell phone all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana to here, making sure that my wife is cool when I get back home. So about 4:30 this afternoon, they got us a new air conditioner in our house. But Satan will try to stop you in anything. Amen? Hallelujah. Can I give a little testimony? You know, the Bible says that there's no distance in the Spirit. And a lot of times we don't understand what that means. Well, I don't know how many years ago it was, Sister Linda took my daughter, Sutter, took my daughter to Europe. And when they were in Europe, our church was sponsoring them while they were over there. They were going into Albania, some of the first missionaries that ever went into Albania. And it's a real good testimony just to hear that story about Sister Linda Sutter and my daughter when they went in there and learned a lot of the experiences. And I'm glad we heard about it afterwards, not the before fact, because I don't know if I would let my daughter go in, because it was a real dangerous situation and God did a lot of things. But, you know, we can't help the way that we're born. Amen? But after we get born, we can make a change. I believe I'm going to need some volume. I don't think they can hear me, brother. I said, after we get born, we can make a change. Amen. If Jesus died on the cross for us, we can have a change. Amen. So when Linda was over there, they were praying, and they were praying for people that were supporting their ministry. And Linda, not even knowing it in her prayers, she discerned with the spirit of discernment, she discerned that I was dyslexic. And I am very, very dyslexic. I was, thank God, I've been delivered. You know, been delivered, being delivered, and I'm going to go on and I'm going to continue to be delivered. Well, I was so bad dyslexic that I always wanted a wireless mic, but I couldn't use a wireless mic because if I got too far away from my wife, I might not be able to speak. And my wife would always have to sit on the front row. And I would go through and I'd study my message and I'd give my message to her and I would preach my message to her, because there was times when Satan would stop me from speaking and I could not even say a word, and my wife would have to actually tell me the word that I wanted to say because it wouldn't come out. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, this is a spirit that we have to deal with. Well, God just spoke through Sister Linda Sutter and called us long distance and says, this is what your problem is. It's a shame that here in today's America that we live in and the modern technology that we have to use such powerful things as the gifts that God's given us, and we can't even get set free because the doctors don't know how to deal with deliverance. See, the doctors couldn't do nothing for me. I went to the dyslexic college there in Baton Rouge, and I said, I'm dyslexic. You know what they said to me? Well, you're about 40 years too old. 40 years too old. But I was about 40 seconds from a prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, as I told the Moody's, I told Sister Moody, I said, Sister Moody, I said, you know, Sister Delinda has discerned that that I'm dyslexic. And so she has a daughter. Well, she's dead now, but Brother Gene, they have a daughter that was dyslexic. She went on to be she's got a master's degree. She's a chemist. But there's things that we can get help in. Amen? We can get help. Don't give up wherever you are. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life. You can get some help. Glory. Hallelujah. So what happened? They taught me how to function. You know, there's a lot of people who's not functioning today, but they don't know what the reason is. There was times I would think I was crazy, but there was things that I could build, there's things I could design, there was things that I could do, but I could not get my point over because I could not use that expression. Thank God. There's no distance in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you've noticed, I'm doing pretty well tonight, huh? Yeah. My wife's not on the front row tonight. Hallelujah. And she's not hot in Louisiana either. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, I'm Pastor Butch Taylor from Slaughter, Louisiana. I pastor a church, Manor Baptist Church, but don't let that scare you. God gave me the name. Here recently, God told me to get another pastor in the church, and I got a woman pastor that's just taken over the church, and I become the bishop of our little church. Ronnie calls me Archbishop. But I've been on a diet and I've lost that arch. I'm not too arched anymore. Hallelujah. Just a bishop, amen. A bishop for the souls that I can minister to. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I'm excited, brother, what's going to happen. And I see some things that God is getting ready to do. And one of the things that God wants, has been impressing most of me, Brother Glenn, is he's going to take care of your needs. There's going to be some changes made, but the changes would scare you. And Sister Irma, but God says, I'm going to take care of your needs. He says, because what I've called this to be, I've called it to be a banquet table, a place to come and feast, a place to come be served, and a place to serve, a place that can feed my men and women of God, a place that can feed my fivefold ministry, saith God. And not only feed my fivefold ministry, he said, I have a fivefold ministry that is a new group of men to come in to serve under you to feed my sheep, saith the Lord.
We shall stand to see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the house of the living, not the dead. Amen. Amen. Well, Ronnie, where's all your notes at? In your head? Amen. Come. And Ronnie Bayou from Grove Bridge, Louisiana.
Thank you, Dad. Could I have that lapel now?
Oh, okay.
Amen. I'm not one of those preachers that can stay behind the podium. Stand to your feet. Let me get wired up here. Unwired. I'm going to get one of those cordless mics. Turn around and greet your neighbors. I'm so glad I came. All right, while you stand up, grab your Bible. Let's make our profession of faith tonight. So this is my Bible. I believe the Word of God. Tonight I believe I'm about to receive the incorruptible, uncompromising, pure Word of a living God. I come with expectancy. I believe the Word will manifest itself in my life tonight. And I've come to take back what the devil has stolen from me. Turn around and shake your neighbor's hand and say, I'm going to take everything the devil stole from me tonight. You may be seated. Open your Bible to the book of Ephesians. And 2 Samuel chapter 3, I'm going to be talking on the subject of taking it back. But this is loud, and I'm like Brother Frank, I can get loud. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad that the Colonel's here tonight, because I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how the enemy infiltrates into your camp. And see, you've got a bit of good armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to put on the whole armor of God, and you have to know how to take the devil, and you have to take the kingdom by force. How many of you know that I know what I'm talking about, and you know what you're talking about, because Jesus said that we can do it, and he said to Brother Frank tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. Say, I'm anointed. I'm not annoyed. I'm anointed. I'm not a disappointment. I'm not an accident. I was foreordained. I was preordained by God to be here for such a time as this. For thus saith the Lord, thou shalt know that in time that I've given thee, saith the Lord, you shall rise with great expectancy. And know assuredly, saith the Lord, that I'm raising up a new breed. Hallelujah, saith the Lord, I'm bringing down from the mountains a new wine's going to drop upon you, saith the Lord. For truly know, in this camp and in this house this week, thou shalt experience the miraculous, saith the Lord. Creative miracles shall begin to take place in your body, and truly the Lord has established His word. Yea, I have brought thee a scepter, saith the Lord, and in my hand and my right hand I bring blessings. And truly know that in my left hand I bring judgment, saith the Lord. For truly there shall be great times of tribulation. Yea, there shall be great times of much affliction, saith the Lord. But be not discouraged and be not dismayed, for that which I'm doing by my Spirit. And yea, let your ears be nailed to the pulse of the house and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. For in this hour, saith the Lord, I am drawing near people that will hear my voice and will speak with clarity, and they shall not be afraid for what the enemy is doing. They shall not focus on him, but yea, they shall keep their eyes upon me, and truly I shall rise from within them, and I shall make my abode, and I will reveal my Son in them, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I've been knowing Brother Glenn and the First Lady of this house for about 15 years. And Brother Glenn, for the last three times I've been here, I want to tell you what I saw in the Spirit. I see a sanctuary being built apart from this building, because God said what He's about to do, they're going to be hanging out the seams. You've had a vision for years that many of them are going to be standing in line. I'm telling you, the time is close and it's near, and I believe that this place is too small already. This is going to be just used for feeding the people that are coming to the camp, because you're going to need all the room just to feed them. I can just see this place full of tables. I believe the Lord is going to set up a tabernacle, and it's going to be on the ground. And the Lord said He's going to send you people that will work with mortar. He will send you people that can work with their hands, and they're going to build it, and they're going to pay for it. And yea, said the Lord, I have raised even in you a builder, said God, and you will stand strong like never before. You not think that I'm getting of age. I don't know if I want to go through this. God said, son, be encouraged and pull up your britches, because we're going to go to another place. We're moving to another level. You just begun to fight, said the Lord. You're not about ready to give up. God is raising up generals. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I feel like preaching tonight. He calls me the Raisin Cajun. I said, let's change that. Raisin is good. I don't want to be a Raging Cajun. I don't want to be raving mad. Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's hard to take back something if you don't know what to take back.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus prophesied through the lips of John. He said, behold, in John 10:10, He says, I, the devil, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice He didn't come to destroy first.
That's right.
And He didn't come to kill first. But He came to steal. I believe because of ignorance or walking in darkness, the devil steals things for us that belong to us.
That's right.
I don't believe it's the high echelons of this world that need to finance this world. I believe the saints of God need to be in control of the money because it belongs to us.
Right.
The Scripture declares that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 27, Paul said this, neither give place to the devil. I don't get to preach a whole lot on the list when I come to camp, but I'm going to preach on the devil tonight. I want to give him a nervous breakdown.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I discern. Some of you have been sabotaged by the devil.
Amen.
Sabotage is a spirit. And if you have any military training, you understand what sabotage means. Hello? God's going to do a creative miracle in your body this week. Complete, total transformation. You're not going home the same way you came. I'm believing God is going to release a surge of energy, of anointing in this place.
We saw a mighty move of God the last time we were here. I tell you, last time Tommy and I were standing back there, and I said, man, there's a haze in this place. It looks like a cloud in here. The presence of God was so mighty. Can anything good come out of Bro Bridge?
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Glenn.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let him that stole, come on, preach it with me, steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. How many of you know that you have something tonight? You need to give to somebody else. You've heard all the words before I come here and open my mouth tonight. You have something to give. You have something to contribute to this camp. I'm believing when we leave this camp this time, we're going to leave refreshed. We're not going to leave worn and beaten and have given everything we can give, and you have not poured something back into us. You're real quiet. I must have the wrong church. Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 3.
Okay, bro.
I'm sure the colonel could give you some more examples than I can give you. Here's a struggle power between two people, two nations, Saul and David. How many of you have ever been in a word battle and a struggle power with somebody else? And you know there's something between you and that person, and you just can't put your finger on it. Here's a deep revelation. It's the devil. Don't get spooky, real spiritual on me. It's the devil. Verse 1 said, now there was long war between the house of Saul. Come on. Saul speaks of the old way of doing things. Sometimes we got to cut our losses and we got to quit doing those old things because they don't work anymore. And we got to get into a church with a God that cannot be denied and a God that will not lie and a God that will bring something fresh and anew, and he will anoint that which you say because you're saying what he said.
That's right.
I am tired of eating leftovers.
That's right.
Man, I enjoyed my chicken tonight. I even got extra.
Amen.
And Brother Bush didn't say it right. I'm the archbishop. He's the bishop. But I'm working on that, Sister Coffey. I'm going to let you minister to deliverance before I leave. Get rid of that fat demon. What you laughing at? What you looking at? David was a man of war. But David, the Bible said, waxed stronger.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm stronger than I was yesterday.
Amen.
And stronger.
Amen.
Come on. And the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Saul speaks of the old way of doing something, and David speaks of a new and a precious and a living way that we're moving in. David speaks of a kingdom people. How many of you know that we're kingdom people tonight?
Amen.
We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. According to the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
The Proverbs chapter 6 says, if you catch a thief, he has to return it back to you sevenfold. How many of you have some stuff that's been stolen from you?
Yeah.
I don't get holy on me. Raise your hand if you have.
Yeah.
Cast them lying devils out if you don't. Verse 2 says, and unto David were sons born in Hebron. Hebron speaks of a place in Scripture of association. How many of you know that evil communication corrupts good morals?
Right.
How many of you know that sometimes we need to be careful what we spend our time communicating with?
That's right.
Gun smoke won't get you anointed.
Right.
How many of you are too young to know what gun smoke was? And Matt Dillon and Miss Kitty. In that city. That's a long way back. Come on now. Matt Dillon never lost the fight. That's because he was anointed to be a TV cowboy performer. Stars never get killed. But how many of you know we're living in an age where there's stars that are coming down? They used to think they were a big somebody. Let me tell you, if you want to be used from God
and you want to take back what the devil stole from you, you begin to realize that you are nobody, but you are somebody in Jesus.
I went to church and I told them, I said, well, I am so upset. Y'all didn't have my name on the bulletin. And my birthday happened to be May the 10th, and the pastor's wife is May the 6th, and I am not on your bulletin, and I am the guest speaker. I said, don't you know I have a PhD degree? And he said, well, brother, I didn't know you were a man of degree. I said, I am. I praise him daily. I got my bachelor's when I got saved. Then I got anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was my Sunday King Messiah. And then I got to praise him daily. And when I do, heaven opens. And I know who the rock is. Come on, from where my help comes from.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is higher than me. I like that song. That's anointed. And when you get a revelation of who you are, and I might get to preach my message after a while. If you get a revelation of who you are, you're not going to let the devil steal from
Amen.
You.
Amen.
I might even preach there's robbers in the camp before camp's over. You sit on your board of directors or board of finances, and they're full of devils, and they want to tell you how to run the church. Come on, I'm trying to help some of you preachers here tonight.
Amen.
Or they always have this marvelous thing at the wrong time when they're anointing in the presence of God. Say, Pastor, I have something I think would help the church. If you did, then you'd be the pastor of the church. Don't you love me tonight? See, the difference between me and some of you, I'm not afraid to preach the truth. Men hate you, but some women don't like me either, Sister Mildred. We have something to come. Shake my hand. I'm running for governor of this fast state. Now he goes through the list of all these things, and he gets down to verse 6, and he said, it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul, get a revelation of this, and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Here's some family ties. Some of you are going to have to cut some family ties. They become your worst nightmare. Don't throw rocks at me, just throw blessings that throws my way. Hallelujah. Abner speaks of a lamp, an illumination. He has an ability to play both sides of the fence. Have you ever seen some of them characters in your church? This Sunday, by the way, the name of our church is Family, a Cornerstone Family Church, and all of the Cornerstone Family Church people stand up and wave at me. Some of them can't stand up, they're holding babies. We brought some folks with us. They understand Superwoman and Superstore Christianettes. They appreciate us, and we're nobody because we tell them the truth. So if they're not satisfied with the food that we serve at the church, come on, Sister Mildred, they go to the church on the corner. And when they made their circuit around town, they come back to the original church where they began. And they tell everybody what happened in Brother Glenn's church, Brother P's church, Brother Frank's church, Brother Butcher's church, Sister Mildred's church. Tell everybody about what happens in everybody else's church. But it's a spirit.
That's right.
And it's infiltrating from one place to the other.
That's right.
We had a thing in the military when I was in Southeast Asia in Vietnam called Constantine Wire, and we put it all the way around the camp. And so we had guard duty. I didn't spend all my time doing KP. I had guard duty. I had a problem with my mouth. So I'm good at dishes, but I'm going to help you in the kitchen. I'll give you my word. I'm going to help you. I'm good in the kitchen. Pots and pans are my favorite. Some of them pots are bigger than me. I thought I was the pan, who was the pot? And I don't want to get into my conniving type of thing, because tonight is the first night of camp, and I want you to come back because there's more. One person told me one time, my spirit said, "You've missed your calling." I said, "And what might that be?" He says, "You should have been a comedian." I said, "Well, I was a fool for the devil." And I said, "No, I'm a fool for Jesus. Does that qualify me?" The Bible said in verse 6, Abner made himself strong. He showed favor for the house of Saul, but he was related to Saul. First thing I want you to look at, if you're writing, taking notes, is taking it back, is number one, the enemy's infiltration. First of all, you have to notice that infiltration is between two power struggles. Verse 7 says, Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aon. Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou come into my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day into the house of Saul thy father, to his brother and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman?" So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to himself, to translate, notice the word, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner a word because he, say it out loud, feared him. The second thing you have to deal with in infiltration is to be aware of whose mind is at the present. Is it your mind or is it the mind of God? How many of you realize that the enemy infiltrates the mind?
Amen.
I like Brother Speed's comment, because I was asked to go to a house meeting one time, and he said that they were coming out of a particular denomination. He said, "Would you come and teach us about deliverance?" And I said, "Okay." He said, "What's your title going to be?" I said, "Can a demon have a Christian?" I gave him about 35 scriptures to show them that people's mind can be infiltrated with evil thoughts. How many of you have not had an evil thought this week? Look around you. "Well, I thought we had the mind of Christ." We do. But when you're pressed between two opinions, and there's a struggle or there's a war going on in your soul, you have to be able to determine if it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the devil. I was going through a difficult time this week, and I said, "Lord, I keep failing this test. And I'm old enough in the Lord and smart enough, I think, to know that I have to pass the test so I can move to another level. In military, I started as a boot, but I ended up as a buck sergeant in 2 years. And I didn't get it because I was washing dishes. I was promoted in the ranks because I proved myself to be a good, faithful soldier. I knew when to say yes, sir, and no, sir. Knew how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And not give the wolf whistle when she walked by. And I tried that and cost me 50 push-ups, plus." She's a cute little thing. I was single and full of lust.
Amen.
No answers. Is everybody in the house free from lust? We're going to have good deliverance camp this week, Brother Green. They gave you an answer.
Abner is a kind of seducing spirit that comes into a camp, and he knows how to play both sides of the fence, and he lusted after Saul's concubine named Rizpah.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.